My number one thought watching the Jets offense this morning was that is not a Davante Adams unit. That is not a unit that's a Davante Adams away from salvation. I watch Buffalo. I'm like, yeah, you drop Davante Adams on here and we might be cooking. Like everybody goes down a peg. We get some players like that he can't get open. We drop Davante Adams in here. But obviously it sounds like he just wants to play with quarterbacks that he's played with before.
Matt Harmon. Yahoo Sports. He's on Football 301, also Reception Perception on Davante Adams. Right now on ESPN, who needs Davante Adams more, Josh Allen or Aaron Rodgers? Again,
Rodgers has Garrett Wilson.
I know.
Come on, you clown, throw it to your best receiver.
Right, not just Aaron, not just Garrett Wilson. They went out and got Mike Williams and Alan Lazard, and they throw it to those guys.
I mean, if he doesn't want to use Garrett Wilson, can we have him over here?
He threw it to Garrett Wilson 22 times on Sunday.
I guess. Okay,
That's not an exaggeration.
He hadn't been doing it as much before that, though, right?
I don't know.
I think his target rate, like that was part of it. It had been a little lower. He also complained about his route tree not being the same what it had been in past years, that he was not running a lot of routes down the field. Maybe that changed on Sunday, too, but I think part of that is just your quarterback can't stand in the pocket for more than 2.5 seconds.
Well, Ben Baldwin, I asked him on request to give me the early down pass rate. Where are the Bills?
Yeah.
And they're bottom half.
Just on first down?
First and 10, neutral pass rate. That's like, you know, don't include the final 2 minutes of a game. The game's out of hand. You're not running up the clock or throwing in a two-minute drill. Neutral pass rate, the Bills, they're kind of around where the Chiefs are and the Ravens are, but the Ravens are a run team. But they're bottom half of the league in first and 10 pass rate. And I think what you've got here, I know what you're saying. You want them to pass on first down? Well, when Shakir is back, yes. Because I think what you've got is a weakened passing game. And one of the thoughts is, well, we'll run on first down. They ran 20 of 26 first downs against Houston. We're weakened passing. Let's run it. Okay, now I've got second and long and third and long, and now the passing game has more work to do because teams can key in on their tendencies to run early and pass late, and now your weakened passing game that you're trying to help with the run game has actually become more predictable and needs third and longer to convert. If the run game's toast, I've got a passing game that needs to convert third and eights, and what do? Send pressure and smack Josh Allen in the face. Fix it against the Jets. Jerry and Kenmore. Good morning, Jerry.
You know, you guys are missing the big picture here. He's taking care of the ball.
Yeah, I know. Five games, no picks.
You know, who cares if they win or lose? He's not throwing picks. He's taking care of the ball. You guys are missing it here, what's important in this game. Real quickly, Howard said it earlier, Ja'Marr Chase. What do you think Sam Darnold will tell you was the biggest turnaround in his career so far through five games? Justin Jefferson. Would the Cowboys be relevant at all without CeeDee Lamb? There's no other players on that team. Dak's okay, but it is CeeDee Lamb. And I think we haven't pivoted well. You know, 2 years ago, there was that run of four receivers before we took Kincaid, and we didn't have a plan. Then last year, we thought we were going to get, for the Tremaine Edmonds, a better compensatory pick, so we couldn't move up to where we wanted to. So we move back and we take Coleman. Well, now they have this collateral in Minnesota that we thought was going to be really good, it's turning out to be really bad. We're not. That's going to be the 70th pick right now, it feels like. I don't think they understand how to plan differently if things don't go their way. Because I think they had a plan to take wide receivers, but they haven't been exactly in the right spot, trading up or trading back or with the right collateral to do it. I don't think this offense is much different than it was all of last year when Brady took over. We were just lucky in a lot of those games last year. With the punt return, we should have lost to the Chargers. There's some weird stuff that happened to get us to, what was he, 7-1 or 6-1, whatever he was.
He did good things. Like, they finished drives and they took care of the ball. And in a small sample, like, that looked pretty good. Start of the season, he started out really well. Like, this happened, you know, this will be a small defense of Joe Brady. Like, everybody gets counterpunched, and then you've got to counterpunch back, right? Like, hey, they figured out this and this and this. What's your answer for that? And do the Bills have an answer in using Kincaid differently. All right, you know, fine. Here's our answer. Here's our response. Because I bet they're going to really try to key in on the short area passing game against the Jets. What happened against Houston? Go look at Josh Allen's passing chart against Houston. It jumps out versus the other games where all of a sudden he's throwing down the field.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier games, it was short passes, quick passes, balls out. 70% of Allen's yards passing are in yak yards. We're getting guys on the move, guys in space. And against Houston, and that's the thing, like about the counterpunch, Baltimore keyed in on that short passing game and blew it up. Shakir trying to get space. Kyle Hamilton right there, right on top of him. And teams are sending blitzes. And if they're going to send blitzes, there's two ways to do that, right? How did Houston beat the Bills blitz? They found a Ogunbowale on little dump-offs a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
That's one way to do it. Allen used to do that with Devin Singletary all the time, right? Ooh, or pop it right over the top to Devin Singletary to beat a blitz. That's one way. The other way is, if you've got a receiver that can go down the field, really hit them, throw it up, that guy's going to win his matchup and beat somebody off the line, and bang, you're going to convince teams not to blitz you. Right now, I don't think the Bills have, the last two games, they have not had an answer to convince teams you can't actually blitz us. Allen's legs used to be a part of that. Now they send so many on some of these runs that he has nowhere to go. And actually, yeah, we want you on the move because we can cover these guys when the play breaks down, except for Shakir when he got behind Baltimore. So, and he rolled out a lot and made a lot of throws on the run. He was 1 for 14 against pressure, yeah, in Houston. He's great against pressure.
Usually.
Great. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the league,
yeah,
against pressure. He went 1 of 14.
I do think the other thing that Jerry said, the one thing actually I might even, not to say disagree with, I just think there's a more important point to be made about, hey, they weren't ready. They didn't pivot well. After they trade Diggs, they didn't pivot well, right? Between March, April? April 2nd, whatever it was when they made that Diggs trade. Between April 2nd and right now, that 6-month period, how have they pivoted? Right now, it doesn't look well. Doesn't look great. That's not even my big problem. I think it's hard. I think it's very difficult to find your way to replacing Stephon Diggs on the outside in any good way in that 6-month span. You can do it, but it's very difficult. Wanted them to trade up for Brian Thomas Jr.? I don't know that was there for them. Remember the draft, nobody traded up. There weren't trade-ups. You wanted them to get Rome Odunze. I wanted them to go get Rome Odunze. I don't know how hard they tried. Two, they could have. I don't know that they even had it in them to get up that high because of where they were picking. You wanted them to get Brandon Ayuk. I don't know that Brandon Ayuk ever was, he didn't get traded. So I don't know if he ever was getting traded. You want them to get Davante Adams. I mean, Davante Adams hasn't been traded yet. I don't have the cap space for it right now. Just, I think it's hard. That's not the problem. The problem is they weren't ready. They weren't ready for when they were going to decide, let's go without Diggs. We think the post-Diggs era, they were not prepared. That's the problem. It's not what they did after trading Diggs. It's what they did before, where they were barren. They were already barren. And all those years where you didn't find your way, I only needed one of these guys. These weren't all mistakes, but you didn't find your way to an Amon-Ra St. Brown or a Nico Collins, who was a day two pick, or a Jaden Reed, who was a day two pick, or Jordan Addison, or one of these late first round trade up ideas, Zay Flowers. Just over a course of 3-4 years, find your way to one of those guys that can just be relatively respectable on the outside for the day that comes where you don't have Stephon Diggs on the field. And they didn't have that guy. They were not ready. They were not ready for post-Diggs life.
8030550. Today is the 9-year anniversary of... Don't look at Twitter. 9 years ago today, what happened?
2015.
Yes.
I'm going to guess this is the Jack Eichel opener.
Correct. He scored his first goal at the Sabres.
I was there.
So was I. And then soon after,
they lost that game, and I felt great.
Why'd they lose?
They lost because of an offside challenge.
Yes.
Maybe the first offside challenge?
It was the first offside challenge.
And Kane scored like right after Eichel did.
It went like Eichel, Kane,
bam, bam.
Might have been minutes. I don't know. Yeah. But it was 2-2, and the goal was challenged for offside. So now I know that the worst thing to happen to pro sports from a league in terms of damaging itself for its own product is 9 years old. Happy birthday, offside challenge. Dark day in sports history.
So you say
we live with it every day.
So maybe you're not going to answer yes to my question because I was about to ask, was that the best you felt during the entire playoff drought?
No.
That night?
Definitely no. No. No, they want they started like, you know.
That night was the best I felt. It felt like
Eichel
scored, beginning of a new era. I know they didn't lose the game.
They lost 2-1 to Ottawa.
I
mean, that's pretty tough.
It felt like here we go. We got our number one center. That's all I was thinking about that night. Part of it was I didn't think the 10-game win streak team was as good as, obviously, the record.
803-0550. One more, Jay in Hamilton. Hey, Jay.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I'll be quick here. So I think ultimately what I find is, so first of all, yes, this offense should never be a sample size. You know, we had a sample size with Tyrod Taylor. We had sample sizes with Fitzpatrick. This should always be a top 10 offense at least. I think what I see this team right now, and I think we all love our golf analogies, is that this is a kind of a golfer that is playing par golf. They can hit a good shot once in a while, but for the most part, they're playing par golf. They're not coming at you with a 8-under 62 on a Saturday. And I think what's happened is they looked at Josh Allen as the guy who has that 350-yard, drive bomb, but they do not have a short game to go with it. And if you look at the stats on a PGA Tour, you'll see top five guys who are the best drivers, but they're not winning tournaments. And I think right now, I think you guys have hit the nail on the head where I think they've maybe overestimated just what they can do with Josh being their central quarterback. They do not have that talent, elite talent, that Joe Brady at least showed he could play with at LSU. He doesn't have that now. And I don't know how they're going to change that this year. And I'm going to end here. I think that's ultimately where they've been thinking about is getting through this year and trying to put all those assets, hopefully, into wide receiver next year.
Thanks, Jay.
Well, the receiver train will be ready to go. I can't see how it wouldn't.
Well, the question, I mean, we'll see if they trade for Davante Adams or Amari Cooper or DeAndre Hopkins or Jacoby Myers or, I mean, on and on. The question next offseason will be, well, do you want a young guy or a veteran? Because the thing that Diggs supercharged the offense. It was go get a guy who's ready today. He came in right away, and that's where Ayuk was always a good idea for me. Ayuk, as a trade idea, was the next Diggs. This is a guy that's amazing that doesn't get the alpha number one targets he should. And if you throw him in an offense that featured him as the number one consistently, then you'd have a number one. That's what Diggs was. And to trade a first-round pick and a fourth to get him. I know you could say go back and look at Jefferson, but you could never have expected Jefferson to come in and do that. And with Diggs, it was let's trade for this guy and bang, the hole is filled, not the hole has the potential to be filled. Go get a veteran. I mean, if they wanted to do that, they could decide to pay T. Higgins. They could decide to pay. I don't know.
Do we have another name right now?
The UFA free agents, Chris Godwin, the UFA, but he's more slot these days.
Yep.
I don't know. They could always still just, go beat the Jets.
I think regardless, they are going to beat the Jets. The Jets. How many points are the Jets? The Jets, the Bills are going to cook them defensively. Defensively, sorry. I don't know about offense.
Yeah.
But even their defense, you mentioned their pass defense is better, but their pass rush has not been good. They do not look as dominant of a defense that they were last year. So, they still think they're a huge challenge, but I still think they're going to beat the Jets.
How about Darius Slayton for next year? That's a guy that's been hurt forever, and all of a sudden he looks like he can play again.
But what? That's my
answer. That's not a number one. It's a guy that can play.
At this point, I don't even need a number one. Give me anybody that would start for other teams on the outside. And you know what? They might have one of those. Coleman is doing okay. It's not going great. It's not, Brian Thomas Jr. right now in Jacksonville. It's going okay, though. He's making a play or two a game.
Yeah.
He's a second-round rookie. That's about the expectation. For him, it's not the sky is falling. It's the rest of it, really, that the sky is falling.
Yeah, that's right. He made a nice play on the touchdown. He also made a nice play on the interference, because if he doesn't interfere, that ball's picked off. And Sean McDermott, by the way, is not under the gun for throwing a ball there. If Allen throws his first pick, ooh, there.
Are fans as mad if it goes first down interception than pass, pass, pass? I don't know. Might be the same.
They're a lot more mad at Josh.
That might be right. It might be more about Josh. Hey, this Saturday, join Nate Geary. He'll be at Consumers Beverages, 8505 Transit Road, East Amherst, for a Heineken Silver event, 12 to 2. Stop by, register for a chance to win some autographed Bills memorabilia. Enjoy other giveaways from WGR 550. No purchase necessary. Heineken Silver, world-class light beer. See you this Saturday at Consumers Beverages in East Amherst.